Welcome. My name is Olga Rosales Salinas. I am your host. Today, we don't have the crew out with us, but I got the opportunity to interview Luis Alfaro, the playwright. He joins us today from Magic Theater in San Francisco today. So I am so excited to bring you his work. Luis Alfaro is an essential part of Magic Theater's recent history with 4 productions and 3 world premieres in the last decade. He will be at the center of the future works generated at Magic Theater, continuing Alfaro's amazing work that is emblematic of our state, the immigrant life, the city rearing, the migrants. He aims to make a new play that reflects on the state of our state and therefore our country. In The Travelers, Alfaro sets us inside a near-abandoned Catholic monastery as he explores a disconnect to community through a cast of men in search of connection and corazón with intimate honesty and inspired humor. These travelers are emblematic of our communities of the Central Valley as they seek some soul connection in our state that is building prisons over schools and foregoing any sense of faith over fear-mongering. In the original voice of our Latin world, Alfaro's bringing writing breaks through religious dogma, recognizes our cultural connections, and offers a solace for our communal souls. Alfaro's Bay Area works include the premiere of Magic Theater's Oripes el Rey, Bruja, and the goal in this Golden State, Delano, and various other plays throughout the state of California, and also several other local theaters. Your resume is very long and inspiring, but I am very excited to have you. I think we're chatting a little bit before the video started about how I had seen Oripes el Rey in 2010, aging myself a little, but at Magic Theater, and how profound that play was, and how many connections I found personally with religion and the greats. Your work is something I think about when I'm doing anything creative, because it was, especially that play in 2010, it was so, it did things to me. It like bothered all my sense of religion, all my sense of faith, but also community and motherhood. You know, I'm a mom of 2 boys now. So even in the last 5 years, I've thought about like this connection with my boys and your play, and like, oh man. So all that to say that I'm a big, big fan of your work, and I'm very, very excited to have you with us. So,
Thank you so much. Well, it's a pleasure to be here. I mean, everything you're touching on is something that matters and means so much to me. I mean, you know, I write about California, so I write California stories. You know, my family comes from Delano, California, which is in the Central Valley. So I write a lot about, you know, the culture of farm working culture, but also the culture of the Central Valley, you know. And then I got my start in San Francisco. So I've been to San Francisco, you know, like back and forth. It's just my second home in many ways. But, you know, I think I write a lot about faith, because I think, you know, it's almost a taboo subject in our culture. You know, it's how do you talk about faith? How do you talk about religion? How do you talk about spirituality? You know, and those are really difficult things to talk about. And then just being Chicano, right? Just being of this state and being, you know, I describe it as having 1 foot on each side of the border. But, you know, it's just been such a joy in a way to see these plays also thrive. I did a play called Electricidad, which was an Electra in San Jose many years ago. And then Bruja became a play called Mojada, which is a play about the whole state of immigration in the U.S., especially in California, and that's a Medea. So kind of, you know, exploring all these notions in the state is so interesting. And California is so ripe for stories, you know. It's like we're so tied to the land, and we're so tied to our histories, and we're so tied to this like stretch, you know. I call it the Western Edge. I call it the Pacific Rim. You know, it's the place where the rest of the country comes and drops off, you know. and it has such a great literary tradition. There were still people in the old days who used to speak Nahuatl, right?
Yeah.
And that is a language. My dad's from Michoacán, so southern Mexico. So yeah. In a way, it's like, wow, you know, there's something so modern about us, you know. And then something so ancient about us too, you know?
Beautiful. Let's talk about The Travelers. Because I've been lucky enough to see another one of your plays, and the religious themes in that, how much of the travelers do we how much spirituality do we find in the travelers?
Well, I think you'll find a lot. I mean, you know, it's not a religious play in any way. It's a play about six men in a monastery in a place called Grangeville, which is between Hanford and Fresno. It's a little town of 468 people. So it really exists. And I have focused on a real religious order that exists too. And what happens is there's all these guys in there who are in a monastery that is kind of being slowly taken apart by the Catholic Church. They're taking away their money and the whole thing. And a lot of what's going on in the state right now is a lot of parishes are closed. A lot of the schools have closed. A lot of the support systems that the Catholic Church used to give have kind of dwindled down. And partly that has to do a lot with lawsuits and everything, right? So very complicated story. But anyway, there's all these guys in there. And I don't know that they all arrived at the monastery for the best reasons. For instance, one guy came because the drought, and he was a farm worker, and it was too hard on his hands because he's arthritic. And so he's come to the monastery to become a brother because, you know, there's like the three meals, you know, there's a place to sleep, you know, so it's not the best spiritual intentions. And one day, this guy who is trouble arrives, and he's been shot in the chest from a bar fight in Sacramento, and he falls on their floor, and there they are. And the story really of the play, it's very loose, but it's a story about a man who just might be the most spiritual man. And the most spiritual person might be the least among us, right? So that's really what I'm asking. And I'm working with this amazing set designer, a young designer named Tanya Orellana, who is amazing from San Francisco. And she has designed a set that is all dirt, all California dirt. And so the places where the men are most, they're vulnerable, are in the bathtub and on the toilet. So there's a bathtub and there's a toilet. And you don't see them naked because they're brothers, but you do hear their stories. So it's really a kind of a place where I think a play that's full of confessional about where people come from, farm working. Another guy comes from, you know, his own sort of search for mental health. I think I'm really talking about what's going on in the pandemic for many. There's a generation that did their entire college online. So they missed all those cool things of socializing and being with people. And that moment where you really want to connect as a young person did not happen for many people. So I get it. You know, I get why they're anxious and depressed. And this next generation has the language. You know, they always talk about like my mental health and my self-care and all this stuff. And I'm always and I'm always like, what do you mean? Right. But there's something very powerful, very beautiful also about examining what happened to us in this last period without talking about COVID. But I guess I'm talking about moving towards something bigger than you. And in this case, it's six guys who are moving, hopefully moving towards God. And some of them are moving away from God, right?
Yeah.
And here's this guy who was in a bar fight, who doesn't know who he really is in this life, thinking, well, maybe I should be moving towards something bigger than me. You know, life has a bigger choice for me, right?
Yeah. This is so good. And you're touching on so many things.
And it runs to March 5th. So, okay. Yeah. And it's at the Magic Theater in Fort Mason, which is, well, you've been there. So it's a really beautiful place.
Yeah.
Which I keep saying to everybody, it's a beautiful place in San Francisco with lots of parking. Thank God.
Yes. The only place.
The only place with lots of parking and restaurants. You know, now I'm excited because I have so many restaurants in there, you know, that's like, it's just great to be able to go somewhere and have events, you know, and I love it there. It's on the water and there's just something very special. You know, for those of us in the theater, it's a very special place because there was a very famous playwright that many of us, you know, hold up high named Sam Shepard. And he wrote these very amazing plays. He was a Pulitzer Prize winner. He was very much a cowboy. They called him the American cowboy. And so Sam Shepard did his works there and many, many people did their works there. So it has such an intense history that when you're there, I think it has like a lot of ghosts in there. It has the spirits of all the people who have come through, you know, and we were just talking about religion. So I think a lot about my grandmother. I think about, you know, I always go into a space and I say to all the actors, because, you know, they're kind of like, well, there's only six of us and, you know, it's a smallish play. And you're like, well, actually, all the ancestors, once you let them in, and once you let in all the mentors, and once you let in all the people who loved you into this idea of doing theater in the first place, that teacher, you know, that neighbor, all of those people, it's a very packed, full room. And I like to think of it that way. I don't know if you were one of those families because you're Watsonville, right? But in Delano, you never ate alone.
Never.
All the cousins.
You wanted to, maybe.
You wanted to. I did. And you know, there was always one Thea who made this like gigantic vat of like spaghetti or like it was chicken wings or something like that. And you would, and you know, you would all be on the porch. And I just think that's the thing about theater that I love is so, it's not a singular sport. I walk in, I bring the script, but actors give it life. Designers, you know, give you that beautiful look. The director, you know, it's just, it's unbelievable. And they're all, it's mostly a Latino cast. And I'm working with these wonderful Filipino actors too. And then I mostly write for women. So this has been exciting because the entire design team is women and the men are the actors this time. Yes. And so it's great to have, there's an amazing artist in San Francisco named Joan Osato, who's an amazing Asian American artist who is doing the projections and Sarah Huddleston doing sound. So there's something just very exciting about the world that you're able to make, the community. And then you move on to your next play and you make another community and you keep growing your family, you know?
Yeah. And you know them all. And I'm sure you call on them for other plays.
Totally.
Yeah. Totally. It's so exciting. Just as a fan of play and theater, I'm just going to be over here fanning you. I'm just a big fan. Not a real reporter right now. I'm just a fan of yours.
Oh, thank you.
I want to touch on your play Bruja, just because the title itself takes me back to Las Curanderas, right?
And that's what it was about.
Right. And so growing up religious in these two spaces, Pentecostalism and Catholicism, but also we had the La Curandera who would come over. So my mom, I have five sisters. And my mom, when my little sister was born, she was the sixth, and she had some indigestion. And I remember La Curandera came over and was doing this ritual with an egg.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was a part, like nobody else thought it was weird. I thought I was five, so I thought it was weird. But like nobody, everyone's like normal.
Yeah.
Just do this thing with the eggs. And
yeah, that is so much part of our culture, you know.
Yeah.
One of my cousins was born in the fields because my aunt was picking cherries and they were on a quota and they had to get done. And so she plopped down and so they talk about it all the time because my grandmother went and cut the cord. They bathed him in the dirt, the soil. And if you think about it, the soil has all the nutrients, but also it has all the stuff that's going to keep you from, you know, you sort of adopt all the stuff that's going to keep you from getting all these like bad, you know, things. Right. So they hold them up and the whole bed. And then, you know, I said, so what happened to my aunt? Well, you know, she nursed the baby and then back to the fields. And you're like, wow, the olden day. And now, you know, like if you have a baby now, you're like, oh my God, like, is everything going to be okay? And then I just think, you know what? My aunt plopped down a baby in the field and went back to picking cherries.
We're all going to be okay.
We're all going to be all fine.
It's so great. So I'm curious about that play, Bruja, for the title. And
so it was a Medea. And, you know, I was writing about, if you know the Medea myth, right? She's this sorceress, this witch in the Greek tradition. And then I started to doing all this research. And it turned out that in Greek culture, in the period when Medea was first written, like 1,700 years ago, right? Or something like that. Women gave birth from the age of 12 to about 15, 16. And then that was it, right? And so I wrote, when I first wrote the first version, she's the curandera and she's out for revenge. And in Mojada, I thought I better go back and rewrite this because I think now that I know what I know, I'm going to do this play again. I think what happened is that I started to get clear that this was a beautiful woman and Mojada has a journey. And what happened is I wrote the true story of a woman that I met in Chicago a few years ago who had crossed the border. And I read a fact that said that more than all women who cross the southern border undocumented into the U.S. are assaulted and many times sexually assaulted. So what a price to pay to come to this country, right? And so I was thinking, regardless of how you feel about immigration, what is the price that people pay to come? And so it's all about how we start to compromise our values. So that is what Mojada's about. What happens if you come to this country and you're really struggling?
I know that sometimes playwrights, they have this, the project that they're currently working on, and they have future projects on the back burners or anything. Do you want to tease us?
So I've been writing a series of plays called This Golden State, because I want to write about California, you know, and I want to write it in a very deep way. So I have this play called Delano. And so I've been writing up through Highway 99. So my new play is, because I'm connecting them all and then hopefully going to present them in a kind of festival. But I'm writing a play called Early Mart. If you know Early Mart, it's a little town. And it's about Pentecostal family. And they have a daughter who leaves the religion. So what happens when you leave the religion, right? But I'm really excited about those plays. I really enjoy them. And I teach at USC in LA. And I have a Mojada's plane right now. It's about to start a Yale rep in the East Coast in New Haven, Connecticut.
Okay.
So, you know, there's always a production. I think it's on this 45th production, believe it or not. It's always exciting, you know, just to go see the way people interpret it, you know, which is so beautiful.
Yeah. I love that so much. So, going back to the travelers, I don't want to keep veering off on religion, but I know that every time that you sit down to write, I'm sure that every single character and person in your plays is a little bit of you. But in the travelers specifically, do you feel like you wrote yourself in any one more than other? Or
Well, I do think, you know, I think that there's this idea that redemption is really, really important in our culture. I think in this play, I'm really writing about how hard farm working life was. So one of the actors in my play, his name is Guinan Valdez, and his father is the famous playwright Luis Valdez, right, from San Juan Bautista, who wrote Zoot Suit, right? And Guinan and I have been friends for a long time. And, you know, I've always had this kind of relationship with El Maestro and his wife Lupe and all that. And so Guinan in it plays a farm worker guy who gets out of the fields and is kind of like wants to be in charge of the order. So there's tension, right? There's always one who wants to take over. And I think in some ways, I look at him and I think, wow, I'm really writing a lot about a lot of cousins, and I'm writing a lot about, you know, the politics of church too. And we had a pastor, Pastor Cantu. He was as much of a kind of like larger than life persona, and also a little bit of a troubled man. You know, I remember he used to make us go and cut the donuts in half because he didn't have enough donuts. We had to cut the donuts in half, and he would just do all these like ridiculous things. And now, in retrospect, I think, oh my God, I gave people half a donut, like before mass or something. And so you just think about those crazy. The craziness of like survival and all of that. But you're right. I think in California and in our cultures and our families, we're so lucky because, you know, I feel like I have a lovely life in this. Right. Also, I have a life that I came from that was a very poor, struggling, really hard life. You know, I never met my grandfathers. They both died. And my grandfather in the Central Valley side, all the men in my family were killed with my grandfather.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, one morning in a truck on the way to the fields in the heavy fog, because, you know, the Central Valley is a lot of fog, right? And in the heavy fog of the Central Valley, they were hit by a train. They didn't hear the train.
That's horrible.
It was horrible. But, you know, then so I was raised in a matriarch, right? I was raised by my grandmother and my mom, all the sisters, so a lot of sisters. So, I've always been very used to this notion, this idea that my grandmother was like an incredible survivor, right? She kept her family going. She had the little farm. Everybody worked in the fields. And on my dad's side, his father was killed in a stampede of horses. Can you believe it? I think now, like just in retrospect, I think, wow, what an amazing group of women. And you can, you know, the borders and the barriers that are set up for us in our life are nowhere near as bad as the ones we set up for ourselves inside of ourselves.
No, so it's very true. Yeah. I always like the idea that, you know, when you give ancestors or family members that were kind of mean, when you give them grace, it's about they're always in survival mode.
Absolutely. What a beautiful way of saying that. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Both my parents were like, what do you want to be when you grow up? They were always doing that with me. And I said, well, I want to be a writer. I knew I wanted to be a writer since I was a little kid. And my father would go out there and he would collect paper and he would bring home these papers. And then he would put them in a box. And so I always had paper to write on. And I remember when I was like, I don't know, 12 or 13, my dad got me a little book, like a little beautiful book to write poetry in. And, you know, I think of that beginnings of that. That was the beginning of my poetry life, right? And my father had three jobs. I was always like in awe of him. You know, on the weekends, we would follow him while he went in to do plumbing in people's houses and all of that, right? And yet, you know, he gave me the gift of writing. He gave me the stories and he gave me the culture and he gave me the language. He gave me the words, right? And he used to say to me, when I would be writing, I'd say, I don't know what I want to write. He'd say, one foot in front of the other, one word in front of the other. So was my father a poet? Maybe, who never got to realize his own dream. But we're all connected to a beautiful ancient thread. So I do this because I do it for my father, and he's right here, and I do it for my mother, who's right here, and my grandmother was back there. You know, so in a way, I am this moment, this generation's reflection, expression, and then there'll be another generation that will take over.
When we think about the connections that bind us, we're never, never really alone. Thank you so much for doing this with me today. I know I was all over the place with my questions, but I had so much fun interviewing you and really learning more about the upcoming play, February 15th through March 5th at Magic Theater. I'll be there on the 18th.
Cool. I will see you there. I'll be there. Sure. All right, my friend.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Be well.